Our scripture this morning is found in the 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis. Let me give you just a brief rundown of context. Jacob, it has been many, many years since he was home. He grew up with his older brother, his mother and father, while he lived at home. He lied to his brother, took his birthright, and then lied to his father, deceived him for his brother's blessing. His brother Esau said, you know, I'm going to kill you for this. He decided this would be a good time to get out of town, went to one of his mother's kindred's home. While he was there, fell in love with his daughter, wanted to marry her, was tricked into marrying both of his daughters, did that, worked for 14 years to pay that off, so to speak, did really well with herding goats, cattle, got rich. Things got a little uncomfortable with his father-in-law. He decides, I'm going back home. But on the way back home, his brother Esau shows up again, bringing 400 men with him and kind of cornering him. And it's at that point in the story that we drop in to listen to what he does as he anticipates this possibly very rough reunion with his brother. Genesis tells us that night, Jacob got up, he took his two wives, his female servants, and his 11 sons, and he crossed the ford of the Jabbok. And there he sent them across the stream, and he sent over his possessions, so he was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower Jacob, he touched the socket of his hip so that it was wrenched and dislocated as he wrestled the man. Then the man said, let me go, for day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then the man said, your name is no longer Jacob, but you will be called Israel because you have struggled with God and humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he said, why do you ask? And then he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed. He was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord God, in difficult texts and difficult times, by the power of your Spirit, would you speak a word to us as we gather to listen? May we, your people, know what it is to hold on and to be blessed. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. So if you've heard this story before, you remember it. It's a memorable story for several reasons. First of all, it's unusual. God generally doesn't attack his people. There are stories of God fighting against Israel's enemies. There are certainly stories of God punishing people for what they've done. But there are almost no other examples like this. There is one line in a Moses story where it says God came and tried to kill Moses, but nobody knows what to do with that. And I guess you've got the book of Job, which is sort of along these lines. But this is a very strange story compared to normal Bible stuff. Also, the way it's told is unexpected. We know it's there, so it doesn't shock us. But as you read the story, it drops out of nowhere. Jacob is cornered by Esau, who has threatened him, who owes him, and who, by the way, brought 400 men with him. Jacob, presumably afraid, sends servants and gifts on ahead, maybe to try and buy him off. He even places his family between himself and Esau, kind of using them as a shield. And so he is last, and he is alone, and there's speculation that maybe he's thinking of running away, which isn't unheard of. He has done that before. But instead, he is attacked. And he fights through the night No warning, no explanation. It is familiar to us, but you don't see it coming in the text. The story is also mysterious. I don't think there's any story in Genesis that has received more attention and has fewer answers. The language itself is vague and strange. It's a man who attacks him, but a man who also can bless him. This man can't be seen in daylight and won't give an identity, but he can wound with a touch. And he asks for Jacob's name as if he doesn't know it, but he then proclaims a blessing as if he does. It's a weird story, and scholars who are attracted to weirdness have given it a lot of attention, mostly with theories and guesses and very few clear answers. And finally, and I think maybe most importantly, it's a poetic, profound story. A man about to face his past, afraid, alone in the dark, when someone, maybe God himself, attacks him, but he won't give up and he won't let go and he prevails, earning a blessing and an injury in the contest. And Jacob, whose name means the one who replaces, who is shrewd and cunning with questionable morals, becomes Israel, whose name means prevailed in struggle before God and men. What does it say of Jacob that he's been toe-to-toe with the Almighty and won? What does it say of God? This new name means a new person has been called forth, a new reality, but that reality is not without cost. He does not earn this new identity cheaply. The one who might have run now cannot run. He limps from the encounter. He is both stronger and weaker than he was. He has both won and lost at the same time. The new name cannot be separated from the new condition. He is Israel, but Israel limps. Though he is changed, and the next day, he limps out to meet his brother, first in line, in front of everyone else. Blessed but hurt, which appears sometimes in life and faith to arrive together. What the story says to us, I think, is complicated. If you come to church this morning and things are going well, if you're feeling blessed, content, healthy, happy, I don't know if this text says much. It's interesting. But this isn't a daylight story. It ends with a blessing. It doesn't start with a blessing. This is a story for scared and alone and hurting. This is a story for those times you wonder if God is there and you wonder if he cares what is happening and you think he might even be working against me. And hopefully, like the Bible itself, such stories are rare, but they do happen. And I know a few of you can relate. It's a strange comfort to discern from a story when you're struggling and hurting that God might show up, but if he does, be ready for a fight, because some blessings are given only after being wounded. That's a hard sell. That's hard to preach. That's hard to hear. And sure, we might get that in general, strength comes after struggle, that being made new can be painful. But the blessings of this story are the kind of blessings no one really wants. Who wants to be blessed if it takes woundedness to do it? And maybe that is one of the lessons of the text. In our pain and struggles, there might be blessings. But to find out, you first have to endure them. You have to hold on. We love to think of God holding us in his hands, which is thankfully most of the time true. But maybe there are also those few moments where we have to grab him and say, like Jacob, I am not letting go. Those dark, kind of desperate moments that demand all our strength. And if we get through them, you may know this, but in Hebrew, the word for prevail here, it's really the word endure. So sometimes winning just means surviving, getting through without giving up, without letting go. And if we can, then we are blessed. We are changed. We are hurt and healed all at the same time. Once you've been to the surgeon, the oncologist, the memory specialist, the emergency room, the graveside, rehab, the therapist, the whatever, you may not be the person you were before. You, like Jacob, may somehow be both stronger and weaker, maybe even stronger because you're weaker. Some blessings in this life fall on us in the daytime. They're wonderful and they warm the heart and we love them. But there are other blessings that leave us limping, that are only gained by being endured. You have to be careful with a text like this. Strange, mysterious, weird. It's tempting to ask lots of questions about why and who and what does it mean, and that's fine. It's also tempting to think of this as some kind of self-help text or cheap encouragement to hang in there, like a Christian version of Annie singing, "The sun will come out tomorrow." And that's not fine. That's not this text. I'm not sure this is a text we understand when things are going well. But if a day ever comes when you feel like you're living this text instead of reading it, then we're glad it's here. It may be the only time we ever truly understand it. On that day, it doesn't offer a lot of answers, just simple instructions. Hold on. Don't let go. Endure against people, against struggles, against circumstances, against even God Almighty Himself. Do not let go. Do the work. Fight the fight. Hold on with everything you've got, because some blessings come through struggle. Some blessings leave a mark. Do not give up. Those are the kind of battles, friends, that when we walk away from them, it may be with the limp of a person who's been through something. But it will also be with the blessing of one who held on and still lives. And once you've been face to face with God in the darkness, once you've cried and shouted and done the work and gone to the meetings and admitted the mistakes and faced the truth and the fear, admitted the pain, asked for help, asked for forgiveness, and whatever else it took, while you waited for a blessing you weren't sure would ever come, you realize only later that God was there with you, maybe even as part of the struggle. But that's when you also realize that some wounds really are sacred. Some blessings are beautiful and painful all at once. And friends, if you find yourself in that place, if you find yourself limping away from that place, anything you face after that, you face as a new person. Yes, You may limp, but we limp as those who have endured, who carry both the marks and the blessings of God, and live a new life with a new name, as a new person who has held on during the night. And friends, when you need this text, give thanks that it's there, for the promise that the morning does come. Amen.